When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Avengers, Age of Ultron is garbage, folks.
Is it an alligator or a crocodile? I don't know the difference, and at this point, I'm too afraid to ask.
Look at that. That is a werewolf.
What is up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of Denny Geek Presents Marvel Stand'em Live. I'm your host, Mike Cicchini, and with me for all time and always, well, at least for now, I have Denny Geek TV editor Alec Bajalid and Denny Geek News and Features editor Kirsten Howard. And folks, we are here to talk about the series finale, because let's get real. There ain't going to be a Secret Invasion season two. We're here to talk about what is certainly the series finale of Marvel's Secret Invasion on Disney Plus. Kirsty, why don't you tell us what went down?
Of course. In the final episode of Secret Invasion, Gaia, disguised as Nick, has a showdown with Gravik to stop World War III from breaking out. They are both infused with the Avengers' DNA in the Super Scroll machine and battle it out with their new powers. Gaia wins and Gravik is dead. Meanwhile, Nick shoots Rhodey in the head and convinces the president to call off the attack on Russia, then goes back to space with his wife while Gaia is recruited by Sonya. I should be clear, it's Skrull Rhodey he shoots in the head, not actual Rhodey. He's quite alive.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to get to that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So just to give everybody a temperature check on what I think most folks' feelings about this episode and Secret Invasion in general were, Zing Stoat in the comments just said that was a Disney Plus series that happened. if you tuned in a couple weeks ago, I was the overall, and I'm sticking to my guns on this, kind of the Secret Invasion apologist. Is not a hill I'm willing to die on, mind you. Like, it's hard for me to go to bat too hard for this show, but I think this show did some stuff effectively, and I think it was a nice antidote to a lot of the things that folks claim are problems with the MCU right now. But it was clumsy, and this episode was no different. There were moments in it that I thought worked really, really well, but overall, especially that last act where it was just like, oh, we're just doing this now, huh? Didn't quite make it for me. So I don't know. I think we're in that unfortunate territory where once again we're looking at a Disney Plus MCU show that probably should have been a movie. What do the two of you think?
Marvel's Andor, huh?
This was not Marvel's Andor, was it? Like,
no, it was not. Kirsten, I don't know if you recall, but I think in episode one or two of this show, we all did our predictions for how the series would end. Do you recall what mine was?
Remind me.
It was, I was in a very cranky mood, apparently. I said, absolutely nothing of consequence will happen and we'll forget that Secret Invasion ever existed a year from now. I feel like I'm mostly on track with that prediction. The Rhodey reveal is, you know, it's something. Like, I can't ignore it. We're going to talk about it. But for the most part, the show, if I had to describe an adjective to it, or maybe this is a noun, I don't know. We'll get to the bottom of that in a second. I would say it's nothing. The show is just nothing. It's just empty space on Disney Plus servers. I don't even think it's actively terrible. And there were moments that I actually did kind of like, including the fight scene, weirdly, at the end, which I feel like I don't know why. I maybe it was just, you know, something unusually kinetic in this show. This came and went, and I don't think any of us are going to think about Secret Invasion ever again for one moment in our lives after this.
I mean, you're right, Alec. It was definitely one of the Marvel series of all time. it was very empty. It wanted to be a paranoid conspiracy thriller. There was no paranoia because they kept telling you everything. The conspiracy was, you know, unpacked in the first scene of the pilot. and the thrills, they just didn't come. They just never came. It's a real disappointment. It feels like they had everything there. You know, they're great actors. It was the best looking MCU show by a big margin. They had like writers from decent shows. They had, you know, they had some material that sounded very interesting, and that they could only have, it felt like they could only improve on from the comics, which are not very good. But there was just nothing. There was nothing there to grab hold of and be fascinated or intrigued by, unfortunately. It was just like Marvel came to us and said, you know, guess what? We've got the best sandwich you're ever going to eat in your life. It is going to be so delicious. And you're like, okay, well, I like sandwiches, especially delicious ones. Thank you, Marvel. And then they go, okay, so here are the ingredients. This is what I'm going to put in the sandwich for you. Delicious tomatoes, you know, the best bread, you know, freshly baked. And you're looking at all your mouths washing, thinking this is going to be amazing. And then you go, okay, you know, I'm ready to tuck in. And they go, I'm just going to need you to, just going to leave you to assemble that for me, because I don't really know how to do it in a way that is good, actually. They just wanted us to do so much of the work here. I just found that I couldn't do it in the end.
It's hard for me to argue with any of that. But I think the fact that I was there for the performances, which were like across the board, really good, really, really good. I mean, like Sam Jackson, like, please, please give us more Nick Fury, please. I think I've wanted something different from Marvel for so long that when they finally gave us something different, and like different enough that addresses a lot of my concerns about, you know, too many quips and, you know, meaningless special effects, like never mind the quality of them, and, you know, focusing too much on advancing this like incomprehensible multiverse saga that I don't think anybody particularly cares about, you know, like people care about the characters in the MCU. Like, I have no idea where we're supposed to be going with Kang, and I'm not sure I particularly care. So it's like, here's a show that gives me antidotes to all of that. And on paper is very much what I've wanted from the MCU post-Endgame. And it doesn't execute. It doesn't. I can't argue with that. But it's almost like a palate cleanser. Like, it just feels so different from all the stuff we've gotten recently that I'm going with it. And I want better for it, but like, just given how lukewarm the reviews have been, how little buzz I've seen on social media about it from the word go, this show really fell flat. And Marvel cannot afford to keep striking out like this. It's not good.
You say like you want a show that cares about the characters, and this show does some character work, and then it's that feels fresh for the MCU shows, at least. But this show doesn't care about its characters. It kills, you know, Maria Hill and Talos off, and then that's kind of it. There was a moment in this episode where Gaia was talking to Gravik, and she was like, you killed my mother. And it was like, wait, what? Like, because they've said that Gaia's mother is dead, but they've never mentioned what happened to her in the other episodes, as far as I can recall. It's just like, it didn't bother with the bits that it was supposed to. Maybe it sliced the bread for us, but it didn't do any of the other ingredients that make it taste good. It was empty. They didn't really expand on their characters enough for us to care about them. Gravik in the end was just sort of a maniac who wanted to it nuked the human race. It was never about, you know, them seeing us or anything like that. But I don't know. I'm getting lost because I don't see what you saw in it. And I really want to find the good in it.
I feel like they're kind of misusing television as a medium too. Like, how, and I've said this so many times, but, and I'm obviously biased as a TV enthusiast, but why is this a TV show? I think I'm one of the She-Hulk apologists, because that was one of the few Marvel TV efforts to kind of try and like use the medium's advantages. Whereas this is literally just a Marvel movie that's split into six parts, and it has the same basic Mad Lib of any other Marvel movie, including the "we have to save the world" ending. Like a TV show about Skrulls, like why is there not just like a weekly television show about Skrulls just like doing their 9-to-5s, like a screwball comedy trying to like fit in this unfamiliar world, like a fish out of water Skrull show? It's all just getting a little tired, I think. Marvel and Disney appear to be aware of that, so I'm sure changes are coming, but I feel like we've kind of reached the end of the line in a certain kind of Marvel storytelling format.
Alec, I don't disagree, but I wonder, let's pretend for a moment that S.H.I.E.L.D. itself was still an actual functioning organization in the MCU, right? And let's say this had been sold as a S.H.I.E.L.D. TV series, you know, with a run of 13 episodes or more, like even almost like a procedural approach at times. And all the Skrull political stuff is in the background, but the actual secret invasion elements weren't things that were going to be brought. I feel like calling this secret invasion kind of gives away the game right at the start, you know, and, you know, of course, comic book fans all thought, oh, this is how they're going to bring back characters that we thought, you know, that maybe they had killed off, or like maybe this is going to be how they recast some people or whatever. And it's like, no, bullshit. Like I knew that was never going to happen, but I feel like there was a way to present this story, but not as you put it, in a movie that's just been chopped up into 6 35-to-40-minute parts. It doesn't work that way. So I had this problem with Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, right? Where it's like, don't think it's very good, but I can see the threads of what could have been in there. And I'm seeing that with Secret Invasion as well. It's like right there. It's so close. And yeah, and it never comes together. And yet here I am still being like, I liked it.
You know, what's funny is, I think this is just part of being a geek in general, and also just pop culture observers and analysts such as ourselves, where like we're trying to find ways to fix the show and like how it could have been fixed. But at a certain point, we have to just throw our hands up and say like, hey, it's not our job. It's their job. Like, it's their job to present us with something interesting and novel and creative that we might not have expected going in. And they didn't do that. So we're doing the work on this end, which I'm happy to do, because what else are we going to talk about during this episode? But at the same time, we could just conclude every episode of the show with just like, didn't work, fix it, something different. Well, what different? Yeah. I don't know. Do it. Figure it out.
It wasn't our job to make the sandwich.
Yeah, exactly. Going back to the sandwich metaphor is like keeping this entire episode together.
Yeah, it's pretty apt. Yeah. I think we just found the title of the episode too. The sandwich metaphor. Can we at least agree on Gravik? Can we at least agree that Gravik, I mean, Kingsley Benadire was ridiculously good. Even if, yeah, Gravik gets a little maniacal, you know, mustache twirly at the very end there. But until that point, I thought this was a fantastic villain and just a brilliant, brilliant performance.
I would stop short of brilliant, but he's definitely good. Like, I see what you see. He was good in this.
He was good.
I also thought the Super Skrull looked great. Oh, sorry.
you thought it looked great?
I thought the Super Skrull stuff looked good, except for one part, which we'll get to in a second.
I thought Kingsley Benedict was good. I'm sorry, Lee's in the comments going, the CGI? Like, everything's ground to a halt because I need to hear the defense of the CGI in this episode.
I mostly thought that the design of the Super Skrull looked good. I thought that fight looked okay. I thought particularly the way she killed him was a great shot. Like, I thought that looked really good. You know, other than some awkwardness during the power switching parts, like, if somebody can please explain to me why having Drax's DNA means you get Drax's tattoos when you grow his arm, like...
Maybe those are just naturally occurring. As I said earlier, I am kind of prepared to defend the fight scene a little bit, just because I thought it was maybe like 2 to 3% more creative than what we've normally gotten from the Disney Plus shows. I think just because of the diversity of the power sets on play. We always know that these shows are destined to just kind of end in a flurry of punches. So when you accept that as inevitability, you just have to judge it on its own merits. And I thought it was done pretty well. And I didn't hate the CGI. I thought it was perfectly fine for, you know, this. It had better be fine for the $240 trillion they spent on this show.
I have no idea what you guys are on, but I do want some. No, it looked bad. It was an eyesore. It was confusing. I didn't even notice the Drax stuff, man. It was just, it was whizzing by and changing and... It just looked murky to me, looked kind of shoddy. No, I can't agree on that. I don't know about Gaia changing into this incredible Super Skrull either, like long term. I don't know why she didn't just leave. She has Captain Marvel powers. Just fly away. You don't need to deal with any human nonsense anymore, please. You're the most overpowered creature in the galaxy right now. So... You know, if anyone gives you a hard time, you can just hit them with a Thanos fist or whatever. That's fine. You'll be all right. I don't know why she's still here lurking around London or Brixton or wherever they film this. Just and having encounters going, yeah, I guess I'll work for the British. That makes sense. Like, no, you're thinking too small. I don't understand the reasoning there. Yeah, it didn't look good to me. And it seemed to be watched, you know, the last Marvel show that we all watched together was She-Hulk, right? And that made fun of this finale in its finale. Like, it saw it coming, apparently. So it was, I think the trouble is when you go meta like that, you do sort of pick at threads and things start to unravel a bit. The important thing is that the upcoming season of The Boys is going to absolutely finish off any good feelings we have about MCU Phase 4 and the start of Phase 5, probably.
It's not like we're ever going to see... Does anybody really think we're going to ever see Gaia again? Like, this is the thing. This is another finale that sets up all of these things. It's like, okay, now there's these vigilante groups running around killing Skrulls, and now Gaia's working with Sonya. And, you know, the U.S. government is like waging war on this and that. And it's like none of these threads are ever going to get picked up. Just like, quite frankly, like almost every other big deal revelation from one of the recent MCU projects, like where it's like Shang-Chi was a big deal. Where have we been left with that? The Eternals was a big deal. Where have we been left with that? Like all of this stuff, none of these threads are getting picked up. I have no idea how it's supposed to tie into the quote unquote multiverse saga. I don't care. You know, like they've got problems. I will say that we are more likely to see Emilia Clarke as Gaia again than we are to see Oscar Isaac as Moon Knight again.
There it is.
No. Moon Knight will be back.
Let's pretend for a second that we all agreed that this show was great. Like, let's pretend that this really was Marvel's Andor for 6 episodes, but the ending is essentially the same and leaves everything in the same place. We would still be sitting here going, when will this ever mean anything in the broader context of the MCU? And the answer is never. I don't even think we're going to get this picked up on in the Marvels in November.
Somewhere I read it was a direct sequel. Direct sequel to what? Like, what?
To what?
What happened? What is there to expound upon?
I mean, I think I've seen at least one image from the Marvels, like a promotional image where Carol is standing in front of some Skrulls. So I assume this sets up like the peace talks between the Krulls. Remember when they just dropped that conveniently in the last few moments? They were like, the Kree want peace. Like, oh, where they couldn't do that I don't know, 10 minutes ago? No, it had to be now, I guess. You know, maybe the Kree Skrull situation gets picked up a bit in the Marvels.
You know, I'm sorry. Like, I don't want to be that guy, especially because the internet is full of those guys just like rubbing their hands together, waiting for the Marvels to stumble. I think the trailers for the Marvels look great. You know, I wasn't the biggest fan of Captain Marvel, but I love the character. I loved Ms. Marvel. Like, I want this movie to succeed. So now a movie that is a sequel to a movie that came out 4 years ago features a supporting character from a show that is now 3 years old. Another supporting character from a show that, unfortunately, not a lot of people watched is now also going to be responsible for picking up the threads from another underperforming MCU TV show. Not a recipe for civilians to feel like, you know, they can just go to the movies and have a good time.
Well, you know that Loki is going to save the MCU come October, Mike. It's all going to be great again, because that show has no problematic elements to speak of.
Everything's going to be smooth sailing.
that's right.
Oh, boy. Yes. Nothing. Oh, my God. I hadn't even considered that. Is he the main villain of that season?
He's in it.
It's so fun. Like, we're basically discussing all the ways in which Kevin Feige's life is hell right now, and we haven't even said the word strike. His brain must be constantly on fire.
Yes. The strike is on the record, folks. The strike is completely justified. May it go on for as long as it needs to go on. However, it's bad for Hollywood. Like, it's not great. But if anybody is going to benefit from there being a layoff between projects, the MCU needs it. The MCU needs a blame-free way to be able to say, we're taking a rebuilding year, and the strike might end up giving it to them. You can't tell me that four movies and four TV shows a year is going to fly ever again. You know, there's rumors now that the studios are looking to move some of their 2023 releases to 2024 because, you know, stars can't do publicity and blah, 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 blah. I think that would be ruinously stupid, but as we've seen, studio executives are great at making ruinously stupid decisions. So I wouldn't put it past them. Nothing would benefit the Marvels and Captain America New World Order and Thunderbolts and even Deadpool 3 more than there being like a year layoff between Marvel projects while they figure their shit out.
Rhodey? I don't know. I know it's not my job to move the show along, but
somebody has to. Rhodey has been unconscious since the events of Captain America Civil War.
Why are we certain about Civil War? Like, I've seen screenshots online of him in his little hospital gown. Is that like the beginning and end of it?
I think so, yeah. He's wearing the same hospital gown that he was at the end of Civil War. Again, we may be doing some of the work for the show.
I think it's a fair assumption, but that means that, like, legit, with the time jump now, we're looking at Rhodey's been a Skrull for 8 years, 9 years.
That's the blip.
The thing that really disappointed me about this is, again, I got to go back to the sandwich metaphor. it's like the show almost goes out of its way to absolve itself of explaining any of this. It has Everett Ross go like, you've been in there how long? And then nobody just ever explains precisely how long. Like, we got to rush to the internet and compare the thread count on hospital gowns. if you're putting forth that one of your like main Avengers has been a secret Skrull for the past like decade of in-universe storytelling, just tell me, bro. just out with it instead of all these little games.
We've talked before about how excited I am for Armor Wars, assuming it ever happens, because I love the comic and I love the premise, the idea that, you know, Tony Stark's technology has been inadvertently fueling all of these, you know, all of these armored villains in the Marvel universe. Tony feels responsible and really goes on a self-destructive quest to make sure that not only are these folks cleaned up, but that this can never happen again. So now with Rhodey having been off the, you know, off the table for potentially as long as a decade in MCU time now, coming back. So Rhodey doesn't know Tony is dead. That's going to be something.
Does that set up Armor Wars in a better way, though? Like Rhodey being off the board for 10 years? Does that set it up better?
That's my next question, because just as Secret Invasion opened with some of the most painful exposition in television history, can you imagine how Armor Wars will kick off, where they're trying, it's like, okay, so like, remember when I got grievously injured during the Civil War and then I was kidnapped by Skrulls and now there's like, not good.
Someone said in the comments, is something that people have been talking about too, is how are the people that have been kept captive? First of all, why? I mean, they've taken their form and their minds. Why are they keeping them alive, especially that long? But Nick had to take iodine pills, supposedly, or was supposed to take them so that he didn't, you know, immediately die in that area with all the radiation and stuff. And they've got
pretty sure that's not how iodine pills work, but yes. Right.
They're not like inhalers or whatever, you know. So and then they've been around that radiation for God knows how many years and they're fine, these captives. I don't want to make the sandwich again. I don't want to I don't want to do it. I don't want to try and fill in the gaps for them. I don't need everything explained to me, but some things would be nice.
Has there been any indication at all when Everett Ross was replaced? I don't mean in story. I mean, like, for the folks that, like, read every Kevin Feige quote, which I know I'm supposed to do because it's my job, but I don't always get to do it, folks. So cut me some slack. I'm a tired man.
Feige has been weirdly quiet about this show. Have you noticed? We haven't seen him around, have we, on the circuit?
Not since the She-Hulk finale.
Yeah, I've not seen him interviews with him about this show. Nor Carl Bradstreet, although it could be that they went on strike and he wasn't able to make any comments, but I haven't seen any interviews with him, I don't think, before that. And he's Marvel's version of a showrunner here. I don't know. It's all very odd, isn't it? I'm not sure, quite sure what happened with this show, but I'd like to know.
Is there anything else? I know there were a ton of Easter eggs when they were cycling through the DNA there, but like most of them seemed pretty self-evident. But were there any that we missed?
One of them was Ebony Maw, who was blown out an airlock in Infinity War, right? Another one was Ghost, who we haven't seen since Ant-Man and the Wasp.
His DNA is probably impossible to extract.
Yeah, Ghost is questionable. I mean, like, it's a I guess the issue is just like, at what point do these powers actually affect your DNA? And then the question then becomes like, does this mean like, if Carol Danvers has a kid, the kid has a chance of getting those cosmic powers? You know, like, it's like a whole, it's a whole thing. I try not to think too hard about this stuff, even when I read comics. And I've spent most of my life thinking way too hard about this stuff.
I am glad that Mantis made the cut. I think I may have shared like a half-baked take during Guardians 3, but I feel like Mantis is like unexpectedly the most powerful Avenger. Dude, we're too violence and death-focused as comic book fans. Like, if you could just make... She made Thanos go sleepies. Like, anybody go sleepies is an unbelievable power.
No, you're right. You're right. Well, I don't know, folks. I think we've said everything there is to say about this unfortunate show. I think it was a good effort. Didn't hold together. Like, it's not even enough to get angry at. Like, at least I was able to get angry at Moon Knight. What can you say? Secret Invasion? You tried. So is that it? Are we done?
Well, it's the end of Secret Invasion, but it's also the end of Marvel Stardom. This is our last live show. I think our last like video show at least. And because Mike is leaving us, for past is new. I just want to say it's been emotional, guys. It's been a really, we've had some ups and downs. A lot of downs in phase four, to be fair. But it started off well. We were having fun for a while. I just want to say thank you for doing this show with me for 2 years and putting up with me and my takes.
Folks, you might not know this. This show was Kirsty's idea. And I was like, yeah, sounds cool. We'll do it live. And then poor Andrew Halley, our producer, who is a genius, had to figure out how to do it and make it look good. I don't know. It's been a lot of fun. It really has. I think we've worked through some serious nonsense over the course of over 100 episodes, 2 years of time. You know, we've had fun with you folks joining and watching live with us. It's been a real pleasure, and can't say enough good things about not just the work that they do here, but the work that they do for Den of Geek. Alec is our TV editor. You will not find a more insightful writer and editor in that space anywhere on the internet. And he's a great dude. And like, you want to talk about patience. Both of these folks have been putting up with me for many years now behind the scenes. It's great. Like, you know, Kirsty was the person who, as my duties at Den of Geek kind of got more and more overwhelming, you know, I had to find somebody who loved the MCU as much as I did. And so in addition to all their other duties there, ended up taking over a lot of our coverage and, you know, producing this show with Andrew and everything else. So it's a lot of work, folks. You know, we do have pretty cool jobs, and we're lucky that we get to talk about all this stuff with you, whether it's here, whether it's on denigeek.com, you know. But I'm just, I'm an incredibly lucky man to have worked with these folks for like a decade now.
Thanks for never asking me to do any research.
I made you do a little.
That goddamn book club. It must have just been. Yeah, that's true. You would have gotten away with it too.
If it weren't for those stupid books.
I love the book club. And you know, you did all right with the book club. You got some winners in the book club, Alec. Come on. I never gave you like the really dense reading list, you know. When you let me know when you're ready for that. I think this is it. Thank you all so much for watching, listening, following, subscribing, and you should still be doing those things, because there will be other stuff happening on our YouTube home of Den of Geek US, here on Twitch. Make sure you're following us on every podcast platform as well. Den of Geek isn't done. I just am. Keep tuning in. Keep reading. Head to denofgeek.com. Support this amazing, amazing team. I couldn't be more proud of them and the work that we've done together. So they're not going anywhere, and this should still be your first stop for all your pop culture needs. Thanks, everybody. It's been fun.